Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 481. I am Chris, as always, joined by Tony.
I stole your keys.
Tony is being an asshole goose.
It's kind of like normal.
Yeah, except you're a goose this time. Jeff is here.
Hello.
Back for the new year, and so is Earl.
Hey, Odie.
We are all back.
I'm not refreshed. Dying.
You're not dying.
That's good.
Thank God.
That was a long period of time you were dying for.
It sucked.
Yeah, coincidentally during the holiday season, during your busiest time of the year.
Hey, dude.
Wink, wink.
No joke. I couldn't fucking barely get out of fucking bed. I was starting to lose my mind after we recorded last time because I felt like I had cotton stuffed in my ears for weeks, and then come New Year's Eve, it started to pop, and now I'm fine. Maybe it was all the alcohol I drank on New Year's Eve. I don't know.
Alcohol heals all ills.
I've long believed that.
I'm not sure alcoholism. That's true, but
I had new ills the next morning, but
different.
I fucking slept all goddamn day on New Year's Day. But.
Yeah, so you were. You were sick going into the year, and I got sick New Year's Eve and did not feel good until like Sunday of like this past week, so like 5 days straight there. So
that sucks.
But I think we're all feeling better. We're all back.
I'm under the weather, but
sorry to hear that, Earl.
It's going around.
It does seem to be going around.
We passed it north to you then. we're back. We probably played a bunch of games since we actually sat down and talked about new games for a while. A lot of these games aren't probably new, although Earl did play something that came out today.
Ish.
You want to tell us about Pokemon Mystery Dungeon?
Let's see. What is the actual name? Since Pokemon Mystery Dungeon Rescue Team DX, which was announced during the Pokemon Direct this morning as of this recording, which was, January 9th?
Yeah.
It is a port remake of a Game Boy Advance title, I want to say. A Pokemon Mystery Dungeon, and at the time it was two different games. So it is a mystery dungeon game, which says nothing to people. It's a dungeon crawler, essentially, with Pokemon. You go through, it's randomly-generated dungeons. You go, you attack people with your Pokemon, you collect rewards, you complete missions, you rinse and repeat. It's pretty straightforward. You start off with some really weird quiz for them to determine which Pokemon you'll start with. I ended up getting Bulbasaur. I was really disappointed by that. And then you pick a partner Pokemon to start with. I pick Cubone. Just because I thought Cubone would be an interesting different choice. The other ones are like all starters and Pikachu and Monchop.
So what were you hoping you would end up as?
Well, I mean, water starters are always preferred.
So Squirtle.
I mean, yes. Squirtle is ideal, but I would have accepted Totodile.
Any water Pokemon you would have been fine with?
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, this is
grass one.
Except the stupid grass ones, yes. This is, like I said, this is a remake of a Game Boy Advance title.
Yeah.
So the generations actually go up to, it's only like the first three or four generations of Pokemon. So it's Red and Blue, Gold and Silver, and what was after Red and Gold and Silver? Was it? No, it's not Platinum. This is the lead up to Diamond and Platinum. It was whatever was between that. Ruby and Sapphire?
Yes, Ruby and Sapphire were that. Yes.
Yes. So it's a, you know, it's a very limited, but you know, so far it's a very kind of basic, simple game. You kind of go through these dungeons. Right now, I'm just getting a bunch of different missions, find a Pokemon, rescue a Pokemon, partner. You know, kind of pair of Pokemons. Again, it's pretty straightforward. Like I said, it's fun-ish. There's one thing I don't like. I'm going to be playing it right now. Is like how it works in the dungeons is it has a diagonal movement thing, which is really, and you don't necessarily see it, but that's how it functions. It's really weird. Because then it's just like this weird drag when you move in, because it feels like you don't have complete 3D control over your character.
Mm-hmm.
But that always seems to be in the dungeons when you're in the actual overworld that controls like a 3D game. So I don't know why they did that. I mean, outside of, I guess, signing up Pokemon for you to attack and stuff like that. Other than that, it's just a really a pain in the ass.
It's fair.
So yeah. So yeah, that is my impressions of Pokemon. I'm not gonna say the name. I would also say that I saw this was, like I said, this was announced during the Direct, and I saw it and I didn't think it looked that great in the Direct, but actually playing the game, I actually do like this style. It has like this interesting painted watercolor look to it that I don't think came across well in the video.
Okay.
But it looks nice. Okay, I'm not gonna say it looks great, but it looks nice when playing.
And there was an expansion to Sword and Shield announced at that Direct too, right?
Yes.
Can I get Squirtle there?
Yes, you can get Squirtle there.
Okay.
I guess we could talk about it since we talked about it. It's going to, so they announced the Sword and Shield expansion pack, the Isle of Armor and the something another winter one. The first one, the Isle of Armor, is due out in June of this year. The other one's due out by the end of the year. And they will together reintroduce about 200 Pokemon to the game, which would bring it up to about 600.
Yeah.
Oh my god. Right. That's still so many.
It's probably too many for me.
I was gonna say it's maybe for you. There's a lot of people that still won't be enough for.
Yeah, I mean there are people that want all 1,000 or whatever, but whatever.
Yes,
it's well, like more I than 1,000 now, isn't it?
I think it's just under 1,000. I think it's like maybe like 990 or something like that.
Yeah, I thought with Sun and Moon, it got it up to like 800 something. So,
and I think this one introduces like 900 some odd new Pokemon.
It's probably somewhere in the 900s at this point. It's nuts.
Yeah, it's insane. But you know,
two-thirds of the Pokemon, not enough for certain fans.
Well, you already have conspiracy theorists out there saying that. Like, either the Pokemon team lied to us about this, and they could have done this from the get-go, or that they're just selling us Pokemon as DLC that we should have gotten for free. And I'm just like, I really am just done with those people. They're insane, and they need help.
I agree.
And I'm not saying that can't be true, but I'm like, what? Like, if you saw the Direct, half of what they were showing was concept art, so it's not like they had these Pokemon like ready to go.
Right.
And then the other thing was, again, it's due out by the end of this year, so it's not like they're coming anytime soon. We're 6 months away from the first one, and then like 9 months away from the second one. So it's like they essentially have like a whole window to develop the game. But people are like, oh, they must have lied to us. They could have done this at any time. It's like, yeah.
So is this expansion, like, is it like, oh, I pay $30 and I get both the one in a few months and then the one at the end of the year?
Yes.
Okay. So it's like a season pass.
Yes. The weird thing about it, because Pokemon Company is going to Pokemon Company.
Right.
Is that there is a Pokemon Sword expansion and a Pokemon Shield expansion. So you have
to buy it. Of course there is.
So it's the same expansion. So like if you have Sword, you'll buy the Sword expansion. If you have Shield, you'll buy the Shield expansion. But that means that if you have both, or I'd say
you have to buy both expansions.
Yes.
That's kind of shitty.
So, yeah, that's a very Pokemon Company.
Yes, that is very much. Oh, we milked you for $120 when the games came out. We're going to get you for another 60.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's a little bit shitty, but I don't know. I have not actually played any of Sword yet, so The expansions probably will not be in my future right away. But it seems cool for those that are done with the game.
I would also say, I think more than, there's some back, because they called themselves out on this, because traditionally when Pokemon Company did something, they would do an Ultra Sun, Ultra Moon, right. Black and White to Silver, stuff like that. They would just do a brand new game. And this one, it's like, oh, I played this game, I did everything in it, I get to keep all the Pokemon I already have at the level that they are, and I get to continue this game instead of getting a whole new game and starting fresh.
Yeah, that's kind of cool, and it's a half the price of what like the Ultra game would have cost, right?
Yeah,
like, I'm down with that.
And it seems like they're actually doing something interesting with it as far as like Pokemon goes, with adding new, not just new Pokemon and stuff like that, but adding like new story concept and changing some of the basics of the game that was in Sword and Shield. And what more so is that in this one, I think both of the DLC contents will operate like the wild area in Pokemon Sword and Shield, which means they're a fully 3D area that you can explore and have free control over the camera, so it's not like pre-res backgrounds and stuff like that, like the other cities in Sword and Shield.
Right. All right, well, there's our Pokemon Minutes. Update. Let's see. We have a lot of games on this list. Jeff, I need to know why Gremlins 2 is on this list.
Yeah, why are you playing a Gremlins game? That game's like ancient.
Well, because I got a new computer, so I've been playing some ROMs.
I just love that. I got a new computer, so I'm playing old Nintendo games.
Yeah, and I never played this game before. It's a game for the NES. Has anyone played Gremlins 2 on the NES?
I believe I have.
I played it back in the day. I have not played it.
It's like a top-down action platformer. So, like, the perspective is, like, picture Legend of Zelda.
Mm-hmm.
You know? But it's, like, there's, like, platforming in it. Like, so you're, like, all it is, like, pretty short levels. Where you're trying to get from point A to point B. And you run around, you can shoot stuff, and you're, like, always kind of, like, upgrading, like, or finding a new thing that you could shoot. It doesn't really make much of a difference, but it's cool. Like, it feels like you're getting a new item. And then, you know, there's, like, moving platforms you gotta jump on and try to make it to the end of the level. I think it's a pretty high-quality game for, like, a licensed game in that era. Like the graphics on it are, I'd say, better than most NES games, especially like the cutscenes. Like you could really tell, like when they do a cutscene, like, what's like the main guy from Gremlins, like the guy that gets the Gremlin, like I can't remember his name.
Gizmo?
No, like the kid. Oh, the karate kid. Who, huh?
The Karate Kid.
The Karate Kid.
No, that's Daniel. Hold on, just
Billy, whatever the fuck the guy's name is, like the guy, Zach, well, okay. The actor. My point is, the cutscene looks like that dude. You're like, oh my god, that's the dude from Gremlins. Anyways, what were you trying to say?
I was going to ask, just for a point of clarification, it's called Gremlins 2. Is it a sequel to Gremlins game, or is it based off of Gremlins 2, the actual?
I think it was a licensed game that came out around Gremlins 2.
So yeah, it's Gremlins 2, the new batch, which was the movie. So it's like a movie, tie-in.
Yeah, pretty good. Like pretty good for what it is. I think it's like 6 levels long. But each level is like, you know, 6-1, 6-2, 6-3, or, you know, like that. The only thing I'd say is, like, unfortunately, I couldn't add it to my, like, games finished of 2020, which I wanted to, but I, like, it gets really, really hard at the end, even with save states and such. Like, it just gets impossible. So I got to, like, I think, like, 6-1 or something like that. I'm just like, holy shit, this is impossible. And it's funny, because it's like, the levels are not super long or anything. It's just like impossible to get through without taking the damage or whatever. Like, just, but for what it is, like, I wanted to note it just because I think, like, honestly, the graphics are pretty fucking phenomenal for an NES game. So yeah, Gremlins 2.
Yeah, I'm looking at some of the visuals and specifically the cutscenes. Like, they look great.
Yeah, it's like surprising how good it looks.
Nice.
You know, NES was not good at doing that shit, but I don't know. I mean, this is like, I think it came out right around when Super Nintendo was out, and I'm surprised they didn't just make it a Super Nintendo game, but it is one of the better looking NES ones.
All right. Let's see. Well, three of us played the Division 2. Jeff, I think you played the Division 2
for
as
like
well,
10 minutes. So I didn't like the feel of it.
We played it together, and I don't know. I liked the feel of it. I thought it played pretty well.
Yeah.
Tony, what'd you guys think?
I mean, I thought it was one of the better multiplayer games we've played.
Yeah. I don't know. That maybe we weren't really exploring like the cool parts of DC, but it didn't feel like there were things about New York, like the first Division, that I thought were neat, but like early on in that game, like you go to like Madison Square Garden, like and in this, like, I don't know, I don't even remember where we were. We were in a mall or something, like
yeah.
I don't know, but I know that there's like you go to the Smithsonian at some point, so I think that'll be cool. And the White House is your base of operations, so I guess that's pretty cool too.
I think I've shared my thoughts on this game before because I got it when it came on.
You played it more than us, yes.
Yeah, right? I mean, we kind of knew that when I'm just a bit higher up than you folks for this game.
just a bit. Slightly.
Just a bit. But no, I enjoyed it. I think it's a ton of fun. Like you said, it's a fun co-op game. I think the thing that it misses that like, stuff like Borderlands and some of these other ones does is because it's so realistic. Like, it's kind of boring with the cosmetics because there's really nothing to it. You all kind of look the same.
And it's like, oh, here's some new green knee pads.
Yeah. And it's the same thing with actually your specifications. Because this is a discussion we had when you folks started the game. You were asking, like, oh, what should I get? And it's like, we all kind of had access to the same 8 abilities at the start of the game. Even if everybody took 2 different ones, you can unlock all of them eventually throughout the course of the game. So, yeah, where the real stuff comes in is the post-game when you actually have to pick a specialization. And even then, that's just kind of like, oh, you have a rocket launcher or you have a sniper and stuff like that. Other than that, you all have the same abilities. You all have access to the same weapons. So it's, I guess, balancing that way, but it's weird that like, there's no real characters or archetypes in this game.
Yeah, it's all very generic in that regard. I don't know. I thought it was pretty cool, though. I want to play some more of it with you guys.
Yeah. And it's I think the shooting looks nice, so that's always
The shooting is good. I like it.
Yeah, that was something that I like when we jumped in. I was like, oh, this feels right. Like the shoot, like I feel like I'm shooting at somebody and like I'm doing some damage. Especially like, if I hit them in the head, you see way more damage drop off. And I mean, there are bullet spongy. You know, there are guys that have like armor. And they feel a little more bullet spongy, but most of the regular guys, like, I feel like you can take them down with some hits, and it feels good.
Maybe I need to try it again. I don't know. It just felt...
You should play it with us, or something.
That's another thing, too. I was just trying it out by myself, and it was during my, like... It's during like the Black Friday period where I was just like buying shit. Is this like on Game Pass now or some bullshit? Or are you guys
all buying? No, we bought it for like $12.
That's the same thing. Yeah, I bought it real cheap. But like, you know, again, I had like this smorgasbord of games and I just was like, if you didn't grab me in 10 minutes, I was on to the next thing.
Oh, yeah, I could see that. Like, I mean, we you know, sat down to play it this past, like we've actually had it for like 3 weeks.
Yeah.
We finally sat down to play. I was like, hey, this is actually pretty good. It was a good $12 I spent. All right, let's see. Earl, tell me about Katana Zero.
Katana Zero. One of those games I picked up on the Switch sale, and I was like, oh, I should probably play these games like buy. It is... I don't know how to explain it, really. I guess the closest thing, how do people kind of compare it to Hotline Miami? It's a kind of one-hit, one-depth action platformer. But the setup for this game is that you are a hired assassin, essentially, and you're planning the perfect, basically, you're planning the perfect kill room for each room you go to. And so, like, if you screw up and if you die or whatever, you don't actually die. It's just like, oh, this isn't going to work. And you keep on going until you kind of play it out properly, and then, like, you'll see a video recap of how you did that. So, essentially, it's kind of like you go into a room, there's, depending on the room, there's maybe one person, six or seven people that you have to get rid of. And it's trying to figure out how to do it. It's essentially kind of like a puzzle where you're trying to figure out, like, how can I kill these people without hurting these people and getting the jump on that person, and just kind of stringing that all together. And then there are certain parts where, like, you'd have to trigger certain traps to get through it. So yeah, it's actually a really fun game. Like, I thought it would be frustrating, and some of it can be, but I've actually really been enjoying myself. And then nice. there's a part where they open it up, because, like, you also have the ability, even though I don't use it that often, you have the ability to kind of slow down time. And when you do that, you can kind of, like, you know, you can send back bullets to
trying to take
people.
His hat.
Duck game. Goose game.
I'm getting too into the goose game. It's too exciting.
So it seems.
Give me your fucking hat. Give me the hat.
Okay.
I'm looking at the visually, like, this game looks really cool.
That was actually, I mean, I owned it anyhow, but actually a friend posted a video on Twitter of, like, there's a motorcycle chase sequence in the game that somebody posted on Twitter, and I was like, oh, this looks really cool. Oh, game assist, they tell me. I'm like, oh, wait, I own this game.
I already had this one.
Yeah, so I'm like, oh, I should play it. And it's like, it's not even that long. The other thing that it does interesting that I actually do kind of enjoy is it has, what am I trying to say? The way it does its story, it has, like, you can make choices and stuff like that, but there's also times where, like, it has dialogue trees and, like, people will be talking. And you can interrupt them if you want to, or you can just, and it will give you, like, this red text, and it's like, you can interrupt. Or you can just keep on listening as they're talking, and if you want to, you know, if you don't want to do anything, just let them finish talking. And it's a very nice system. I think it kind of keeps you engaged in some fashion if you want to be. But yeah, like you said, visually, it's great. I think the music's fantastic. I think the setup, like I said, because each one plays out like a videotape. There is a character they introduce like halfway through the game that also, how do I say this? They have similar abilities to the main character, but they also introduce something that's really just kind of nifty, where they kind of have like this instant dash move that you can kind of slow down time and just cut to like three or four people. And so far, it's only happened in one stage, but it's kind of cool that it does. And yeah, so that's pretty much Katana Zero.
Nice. I'm going to have to see if that goes on sale at some point, because this game looks, the more I'm looking at it, I'm like, this seems something like I would might really like.
Yeah, and like I said, it's a really short game, maybe 4 or 5 hours.
Okay. That's a nice length. Let's see, Jeff.
Yes.
Pick one, Sonic Forces or Resident Evil 6?
We only want to hear about one.
So yeah, like, I've exclusively been playing these two series lately and kind of digging into some of the ones I'm less familiar with a little bit, I guess. Or at least starting with them.
Okay.
Resident Evil 6, guys. Remember yeah, that? That's remember that happening?
Game. Yep, I very much remember that happening.
I feel like... Go ahead.
Just as a quick aside, which one did Tony want to talk about?
Neither. He just wants one.
Really neither.
He just wants some beer.
Oh, he just wanted one. Okay.
So, like, Resident Evil 4 kind of set the series on a new path, and I think Resident Evil 6 was, like, the tragic conclusion of that path.
I like it.
You know? Yeah. Like, that's kind of what happened, right? Like, it became a new type of game. It became, like, an action game, and then it went, like Resident Evil 4 struck like this really fine balance, right? Where it was like there were parts that still felt like more like Resident Evil, even though it was action, it was pretty deliberate.
Yeah.
And like 6 is just like, it's just become a full like Michael Bay movie at this point. Like it's just, there's like constant explosions and shit, like crazy, like set pieces happening and stuff.
Which honestly, we should have seen coming if we remember the end of Resident Evil 5.
I do not, and that's one I plan to go back on soon.
So I think 5 is a really good game, but the end of that has Chris fighting Wesker, and you punch a boulder.
Yeah, I remember punching a boulder.
Oh, one of the greatest moments in video games.
So ridiculous. But it's like, it's at that point, like, we should have known Resident Evil 6 was going to be...
something special.
Yeah.
Resident Evil 6 to me feels like them trying to appease all of the Resident Evil fans, because here there's 3 different campaigns, and one's like survival horror, one's action, and one's
well, what their interpretation of survival horror was at that point.
I didn't say any of it was good, I'm just saying this is what they tried.
I think they're all pretty, like, so I played Leon, which is what I played when it originally came out, and it's still pretty actiony. But then, like, when I finished that, I started up Chris to see if it was different. And it is, like, these are fully different, like, campaigns.
Yeah.
Like, so, I remember at the time it was like, oh, this is the longest Resident Evil. And it's like, if you just play one campaign, it's not, it doesn't feel long at all. Like, you go through it really quick. But the fact that there's, like, I think there's even more than 3 now. I think they added stuff to it.
Oh, wonderful! Yeah.
And I think I think they also cross over, so like you'll do stuff.
You'll run in, yeah. Because like in Leon's campaign, you do run into Chris at points, and yeah, it's the weird thing is like playing it now again, like divorced from like when it came out, and like the expectations you had at the time or whatever. Like, I'm going into this knowing that this is like the most maligned game in the series and this and that. And it's like, again, like it has all the problems that we're saying, but it's like, it also isn't like a bad game. Like, I had an okay time playing it. Like, and one thing I noticed is like for co-op, and I think part 5 was as well, probably, it's like, it's super obvious, like, that this game was meant to be played with another person. And I imagine that playing through it, like, co-op, if I could have convinced my girlfriend to play with me, might have been even more fun. No. She's busy with Dragon Quest Builders or something.
She'd say no.
No.
I honestly bought Resident Evil 6 to play with a friend. We played for about 2 or 3 hours. I think we finished one.
And now they're no longer friends. That's the...
I mean, kind of. And I will be honest, I've said this to people, and people always like, I mean, wait, Resident Evil 5 is my favorite of the series because of the co-op mode. It's nice, kind of. I do not like 6 at all. There's nothing really redeeming about 6. Yeah, like I think we started off with, because one of the characters in the game, I believe, is Wesker's daughter. Spoilers if you don't know that. I don't think they reveal in during the game, but not at the start.
I don't know. I don't pay attention to that shit. Okay.
Yeah. So, and then I kind of knew this wasn't Resident Evil when I believe there's like a motorcycle chase throughout the city on a highway. And there's like cars exploded and everything. And actually, I think there's several helicopter chases in this game.
Yeah, yeah. There's like a part where you're like, yeah, you're just, again, it's like all these big action set pieces. Like, you know, you're flying this helicopter. There's a zombie in the back seat attacking your partner, and you have to like turn around and shoot the zombie out of the helicopter and stuff. And yeah, it just ultimately in the end does not feel like Resident Evil. But I mean, you could say that about 4 too, in a way. Like 4 is an action game. Like.
The
it's
difference
about
is
shooting.
4 is a great game.
It is, and I replayed that after 6.
Yeah,
there's no arguing.
For me, I think like 4 and 5 are very good games, and 6 is not. Like 6 is like we're taking everything to the excess that you didn't want.
Like, yeah, well, I mean, ultimately though, like. I like the way though, like 4 through 6, like feel like the controls and shit to them, and like just the production values. And 6 still has that. In fact, I think like you know playing 6 and 4 back to back, like 6, I think has better controls. Like it's like you can move around, you move faster. Like
oh, they definitely refined them. Like I remember, like, yeah. Like you know, 4 came out on the PlayStation 2, and you know GameCube and. That era of games, and 5 and 6 were the next generation. So,
and like 4 has the right controls for the type of game that it is, or whatever. But like, just objectively, like 6 is like, all right. So like in 4, in order to run, you like hold down A. In 6, it's just you push the stick further. Like if you hold the stick all the way forward, right. You're gonna run. You can move around while you shoot. You can kind of do shit on the fly with your menu because your menu is just like a smartphone that you pull up. And after like some adjustment, like getting adjusted to it, like I thought that the HUD felt all right. Like again, I'm not like here defending it, saying it's a good, like great game or anything. But I also don't think like I don't think it's as bad as y'all remember it. Like it's just not Resident Evil. Like I think when I finished it, I gave it like a because I'm like starting to rate the games as I finish them now. Like I gave it a 6.5. Like it's. It's not what you want, but it's also like it's totally playable. Like it's not like trash. Like,
oh, it's playable.
Yeah.
I
give it a shot. It was on sale. I think it's on sale again. They're all on sale again. There's like a last chance sale on Xbox. I
own them.
I own it on PlayStation 4. I don't need to give it another chance.
Yeah. I haven't replayed it on this gen. Like I haven't played the remaster or the HD update of the HD game that was already.
It's
there.
Still for a game that came out, and again, I'm playing like the Xbox One version, but I don't think there's that much of a difference. Like for a game that came out almost a decade ago, it looks pretty fucking good.
It looked good. That is something I did remember from it, that it looked good. I just have horrible flashbacks to that game. Like,
yeah, I did too. I had a bad memory of it, but I was like. I wanted to play it because it was one I don't remember clearly. Like all the other Resident Evils, I've played through like 2-3 times at least, right?
Well,
like,
I remember it clearly. I played it for 10 hours straight during Extra Life.
Oh, yeah. Oh, God. Oh, God.
Like to finish. Like, I was like, must oh, I'll finish this. I've already played it for like 10 hours. It can't be that much. It's only going to be like a couple. And it just kept going and going and going. So what is this thing over?
Resident Evil 4's campaign is way longer, I feel like. Just like if you add up all the campaigns in Resident Evil 6, I've never like this one.
No,
I was
like that was the, like I was playing all of them. Like I was
oh yeah, okay.
Entire
okay.
game and like and it's a long it's
yeah,
a
then
game.
I can see. I was wondering though, like if the other campaigns were as long as Leon's, if they were all fully fleshed out campaigns.
They're like four or five hours.
Yeah.
It's funny because going into play this, I was like, you know what? This time I'm gonna play through a couple of the campaigns to really see. And it's like, by the time I'm done with Leon, I start up Chris, I play Chris for an hour, and I go, yeah, I'm good. Because Chris is even more like Chris is trying to be Gears of War. It's like cover,
oh,
like,
yeah.
Get into cover. You have like an assault rifle right away. And like at least Leon's one kind of felt like not like that at least. Because if you're gonna try to like ape Gears, like you're just not gonna win. Like Gears feels awesome, right? Like, and this just, yeah. So yeah, I got like an hour into Chris's, and I was just like, you know what? I'm gonna go and play Resident Evil 4 now.
It does make you look back and go, huh, like the 6 to 8 hour runs of the original Resident Evil games. So much better.
Yeah.
Like they get you your story, get you your encounters with the zombies and get you out, and then Resident Evil 6 just kind of overstays its welcome, I think, for me.
I didn't hate my time with it though. Just
that's fine.
So what made you want to revisit the franchise?
I really dig Resident Evil. Like I had just come off of like before our Game of the Year stuff, I replayed Resident Evil 2 again. Like I had done all 4 tracks in that one. And I was like, I want more Resident Evil. And then I was like, they were all on sale on Xbox, and they're on sale again. And I was like, you know what? I don't, like, if there's one I don't remember, it's Resident Evil 6, because I, like, blocked it out. And it was on sale for, like, $8. I was like, fuck it. Let's just, you know. And then it was just like, yeah, I was just, you know, I'm just in a groove with that and Sonic. Like, I'm, like, really into those two series right now for whatever reason.
We're going to come back.
I'm starting to burn out on them, but yeah.
We're going to come back to you on Sonic in a couple minutes. I played a game that came out last year that I hadn't heard of, but it's on Game Pass now, called My Friend Pedro.
Oh, yes.
It is a side-scrolling, I guess like 2.5D action platformer where it plays like a John Woo movie. Like you can freeze time, yeah. Not freeze time, but you slow it down. So you're going into like almost like a bullet time.
It's like 2D bullet time shit. Yeah, yeah.
You're twisting and like you can spin to avoid getting shot, and you can split your aim so you're hitting two different targets at once. And as you continue to play, like you get more and more weapons and different types of weapons, and you can shoot them all pretty fast. And there's like some levels that mix things up where like there's a motorcycle level, or there's levels where you're on a skateboard, or you have a crazy, like you go into this crazy ass dream sequence. Where, see, for whatever reason, you have a talking banana with you.
Pedro.
He's your friend. And about halfway through the game, like, you dive into this puddle in the sewer, and you get knocked out. And you go into, like, this, like, trippy dream sequence where you're, like, floating, and it's nuts. The game is kind of crazy. Super stylish. Having a lot of fun with it. Had some boss fights. But everything looks like really cool. And like, as you do it, you start getting multipliers. And like, if you go through a glass pane and kill somebody, like you'll be like, hey, that was like a stylish kill. Like it's always giving you like positive feedback. And then some of the platforming puzzles get really like tricky and interesting as you play further in. So that's on Game Pass.
I have touched it.
Yeah.
You didn't like it? No, just like the Division 2, like it just I didn't like the feel of the controls. Like I was just like,
it took me a little while. Like I had to get through the first few levels.
Yeah, okay. So like I'm not completely crazy on that. And again,
no, before I try it, like I was kind of convinced, like, hey, like people are like, oh, like really looking forward to this game, can't wait for it to hit here. And it's like, oh, all right, well, I'll give it a shot. Like I have Game Pass. Like doesn't look like it's a huge game. Oh, it doesn't look like it's going to take that long to play. And yeah, the first level like is kind of tutorial-ish, and it, they're not too long, but like in the first like 5 or 6 of them, kind of feel like you don't really get a feel of it until you move on to the second area. Once you get there, then it starts to feel a little bit better, and it's a little bit faster paced, and you get different weapons, so it's not just the handgun.
it's another case where, like, I haven't played enough of it. Like, again, it's like, I just tried it out, and it's like you said, it's like at first you're kind of, like, learning the controls.
Yeah.
Like, all right, I'm not loving this right. Like, it's not giving me, like, that instant connection or whatever, and I'm like, all right, I'm moving on. Like, I didn't, yeah. On top of it, I didn't pay for it, so I'm just like, whatever.
Yeah, that's the blessing and the curse of
games, right? It's like, you can easily move on from something you might actually really like. You know,
yeah, it's like, oh, this looks cool. Oh, it's like, you know, it has an art style that I like or a perspective that I like, and I'm not feeling it. And there's 100 other games on this service that I can play. None of them will catch me. But yeah, I'm enjoying it. I think it's a lot of fun. Carl, tell us about Ape Out.
Ape Out.
Yeah, buddy. High five.
Yeah. Another one of those games I bought on sale.
Games you bought on sale.
Yeah, games you bought on sale, and me being terrible with money. Woo! But no, Ape Out is... I honestly don't know how to explain Ape Out. You are an ape who's running amok in a factory. You run into people and you smash them and you kill them. It is a very stylish-looking game. It's not black and white. What is
it? It's like silhouette.
Is it monochrome?
No, it's not monochrome. It has color, but it's like two or three tone. So it's like a red and a black, and then sometimes there will be different colors depending on, like, if you set off an alarm, or if it gets intense. But it's a very it's a very nice style. It has a very jazz oriented score, which is amazing sounding when you like when it gets really intense, the action really kicks up. But yeah, essentially what you do is you go and you smash stuff, whether that is people through a door or people through a glass or people with a door itself. Like there's parts where you can kind of like carry a door, walk it over, and then throw it into people. It's just really fun. It's a really simple game. It's like two buttons. I'm having a great time with it, though.
It's awesome. This is a game I was trying to push on Chris because I know he loves like arcade games. It's like it's a perfect like modern arcade game. Also, I love when you die, it shows your, or even if you make it, I think, like, it shows your path through the level after that, like,
yeah.
So, like, if you die near the end, like, it'll show you an overview of the map, and it just shows the trail you made through the level, and you can see, like, how close you made it to the end, which I always thought was, like, a nice little neat touch.
All right, I'm gonna install this. I own it on, it was one of the free games that Epic gave out over their 2 weeks of Christmas.
You'll like it, dude. It's so cool.
I'm going to install. Yeah,
it's really fun. If nothing else, you like it for the style of music. And like I said, the gameplay is very simple, but it's a ton of fun. I find it very addicting.
Nice. Yeah, I never beat it, but it's awesome. Like I think it's a really cool game. Like if I had played more of it, it could have been in my top 10, honestly, last year. It was a 2019 game, wasn't it, or no?
It was.
I was going to say that for both Ape Out and Katana Zero. I think hindsight, if I played them before, I think they would have both been on my list.
But Ape Out, you were like kind of struggling to describe like how it is. It's kind of like one of those Hotline Miami things too, where it's like you kind of enter an area and it's about like attacking everybody as quick as possible so that they can't attack you. You know, you gotta take everyone out before you get killed. Or like, I don't know, like, it has that feel to it. It's cool. Like, I really like Ape Out.
Nice. All right. What was that, Earl?
Oh, no, I was going to say, my favorite thing about the game, really, is you can grab onto the guards and hold them as hostages.
Yes. And then throw them at the wall. And like.
Yes, or throw them into each other. especially, like, in the, like, this different, like, for the most part, the enemies are sort of the same. But enemies that wear like body armor, so they take two hits to knock out. But then there's also ones that are, what am I trying to say? There are also enemies who kind of have explosives on them, and so I like to take one of the other people and throw them into them and have them explode and take themselves out.
Can't you like also rip doors off their hinges and kind of use those as like you could use them as shields or just like throw the fucking door at someone and smash them? It's fucking it's a cool game, dude.
All right. Before we move on to the Witcher talk.
Yeah. Jeff,
why are you playing Sonic Forces?
Dear God, why?
I like the Sonic games, as you guys know. Like, I actually like the modern ones. And I think they get
Nobody likes the modern ones.
What's that?
Nobody likes the modern Sonic game.
Well, what's considered modern Sonic?
Just anything since Sonic Adventure on, I would say. I don't know. Like, ever since they tried to go 3D.
I thought, like, Generations and Mania were...
Generations is fantastic.
I wouldn't count Mania as modern Sonic. I like Generations. I prefer Colors.
What? Nah.
I think Colors is much better.
Colors is good. I don't know. Generations to me is like the peak of Sonic. Like, but anyways. Where were we going with this?
Why are you playing Sonic Forces?
Yeah, why are you playing Sonic Forces?
So, yeah, I like honestly, like, parts of all of them. Like, I like Sonic Adventure 2. I like Sonic Heroes. Like, most of them... And I think, like, since Sonic Colors, like, they've honestly been better than people have given them credit for. And so, and I remember, like, when Sonic Forces came out, I was just like, this thing's a dud. And I think it got, like, bad reviews, and... I just remember being like, it was okay, but it was not as good as Sonic Generations. And it's not. It's not as good as Sonic Generations, but replaying it, like, and so, but I wanted to give it another shot. And it was also on sale on Xbox One for $10. So I was like, fuck it, I'll get it. Even though I already own it on the Switch. Now I have Sonic Forces on two consoles. And honestly, dude, it's like, I'd put it in the top tier, man. Like, I think it's totally fine. Like, it's a little short, but then so is, like, Generations is even shorter than it, I think. I think Generations is better, and Generations is definitely more polished. There's things about Sonic Forces that feel like unfinished, like an unfinished product. Like, for instance, like, when you beat a level, there's no fanfare or anything. Like, you don't stop and, like, wag your finger. Or, like, there's, like, nothing. You don't give, like, a thumbs up. It's just, like...
It just ends.
You beat the level, and then Sonic just stands still, and there's no music, and it's just, like, nothing happening in the level. Like, it just, like... It's like the game just, like, stops, and then,
the game is so surprised. You actually made it to the end. How is this possible?
It's just, like... And then it's just, like, you know, level cleared will pop up after a second, and it's just, like, there's no music playing or anything. I'm like, what the fuck is going on here? But, like, in general, like, I think it plays pretty good. It does not, like, you know... So I jumped into Generations right after it, and Generations just feels right. Like, the way Sonic jumps and moves just feels fucking right. But Forces, it's still a fun game. Like, I don't know, man. Like, I dig these games inexplicably anyways. Like, I just love that. Like, they're colorful. You can't even
explain it yourself. I love it.
Dude, they're colorful. You're running down a fucking track, like, fast as... Like,
okay, so just as... You say colorful, but I remember one of the things with Sonic Forces is...
It's more drab.
Because it starts off with him, like, Robotnik beating the crap out of him.
A lot of robot shit. Yeah, and so it's, like, very... There's grayness to it. Like, it's not... Yeah, it's not as colorful as Generations, like, almost hurt my eyes when I started playing again. Like, I turned the brightness up at the beginning, and I was like, whoa! Like, Jesus Christ! But just, they're like fun little roller coaster rides of levels. Like, when the parts of the level really work, like when you're going fast in 3D down the track, like my girlfriend was watching me play a level in Generations. She's like, that was fucking intense. Like, Jesus Christ. And I think, like, it sticks to the formula that they kind of figured out in Generations, where, like, every level is, like, part of the track is you're in 3D and you're running forward, and then part of the level is, you know, it switches to 2D, because they've basically understood that, like, they can't do much with the 3D portions other than you're just going fast on a track. And so, like, when they want to have have more like platforming shit. It'll like the camera will rotate out and then there'll be like a 2D section. And I think that's like a good solution for the series. I just think that they need to make one where they spend more time on it and not rush it out the door, which is like, I could definitely feel that with Forces. And even though like Generations is great, like that feels forced too a little bit because the game is so short. Just make like stick to this formula that you figured out and fucking like really invest some time and resources in a new one, and you could have like a great. Yeah, it's never gonna be like Mario, but it's a different flavor, and I've always really enjoyed them. But yeah, I think Sonic Forces is fine. I think that the one big thing that they added in that is like you could make your own avatar and you have to like play some of the levels as that. I think some people are like really into that, and I was just like, every time they made me play as my dumb avatar, I was like, I just want to play as Sonic. You know, like it's one thing with the Sonic games too in general. It's like they always like are finding ways for you to play as someone other than Sonic. Like, God, those like in the Sonic Adventure games, when, like the levels where you have to play as Tails or Knuckles. God, they're fucking terrible. Like those Knuckle levels, we have to like explore looking for the emeralds or whatever.
I prefer them in Sonic Adventure 1 over 2 because 2, yeah, they added the element that you have to have find them in order as well.
The emerald, Knuckles. Ugh.
In the first one, you could find them in any order. In the second one, you had to find them like 1, 2, 3, 4. So even if you knew where it was, it's like, you can't do this yet. And I never like any game that does that.
And those Tails levels are pretty lame too, right? Like you're just like walking in a robot and like shooting, and it's just there's like nothing to it. Like you just like I think it like auto aims everything. So you're just walking through a level, pressing B. Like those Adventure 1 and 2, like those people like really love those games. Those games are pretty rough, dude. Like I still love Adventure 2 because it was like an early GameCube game for me, and so like I always love that like city escape level that it starts with. Like that is really awesome. Yeah. But those games are pretty rough, and I think that those games are that and like Sonic 2006, which I will admit is really terrible. I think those are the ones that like set the reputation for the series. That like even when they do good ones, like they've been doing, it's like they never.
Those are so bad that they can't.
06 Sonic, like, and I remember like thinking, oh, this is gonna be the one. It's gonna be awesome, like. Good lord. Like, I don't think I ever got past, like, the second or third level of that because it's so bad. But, like, I don't know. A lot of the ones since I've liked. Like, I even, like, kind of liked Sonic Unleashed. Like, I don't know. I just think the series gets a lot of shit. And it honestly is, like, I get it. Like, I do get it. Like, it's not up to the quality of something Nintendo would do. But, like, they're fun games for what they are, and I think, like, if you do like the newer ones and you haven't tried Sonic Forces, like, especially at $10, like, I had zero regrets about buying and playing that again. Like, I actually liked it way more the second time. Like, I'd probably give it, like a 7 out of 10. I don't know. So, yeah, Sonic. I'm the champion for Sonic.
That, we see that. All right, Tony.
Yes.
You've gone back to The Witcher 3. I've been watching The Witcher TV and playing the original Witcher. Let's talk about The Witcher.
I couldn't not play a Witcher game after having seen The Witcher show. I think it's just, you know, having that environment like thrown right in your face and live action, it's really super cool. And
yeah.
And I never finished The Witcher 3, which is very, 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 very long.
That's crazy, so, though, because I remember you loved it, right?
Like, I loved it. I played it for, I went back. It was 62 hours.
And you didn't beat it?
And I didn't beat it. And I'm like, well, I guess this is a chance to rectify that.
So did you restart?
I had to start over from the beginning. I had no idea how to play the game. Like, I didn't know any of the controls. Where was I? I don't know what's happening in the story. Yeah. I don't remember. And one of the things about playing a game that is that long, like, I'm not sure that I could have told you what was going on in the beginning when I was like 50 hours in. Like, by now, it's been like 5 years since I played. I don't remember anything. So it's like playing over like a new, entirely new game.
They touched up the controls and stuff too on Witcher 3.
They touched up the controls. It's also Xbox One X, so it's
enhanced.
Enhanced, so it looks awesome. It looks absolutely fantastic. It still plays really well. And of course, since I don't remember the story, like the storytelling in those games is phenomenal. At least for video game storytelling.
Yeah.
So it's kind of cool to get through all this stuff again. It's like playing it over again for the first time because it's been so long. So if it has been that long for you, I highly recommend going back because it is awesome.
I never played the DLC that I bought for it.
Yeah.
Which are evidently like 10 and 20 hour games themselves.
Yeah.
So I think I'm going to go back and play those.
You don't even have to, you can play, the game will put you directly into the DLC. Like it gave me that option when I was starting. Okay. So like it'll level Geralt up to the right level.
Nice.
So if you don't want to play through, like you lost your save file or whatever, you could just hop back in.
I did my DLC. I liked it way more than I did when it first came out, but like I just fell off for whatever reason. But like I've tried so many times, it just doesn't. Like I don't know. Like what's wrong with me? Why can't I I liked it way more. And I get what people are saying. Like there's like side quests in that are just so fucking cool. Like it's like their own little mini story, you know? Like they're like cool, but I don't. I guess the combat. It's still the combat to me. Like the game plays better than it did when it first came out. It just, that combat for me just won't click. Like, it just won't. And it makes me sad because I know it's like one of the best RPGs of this generation and shit. And it's just, like, it makes me really sad that I can't, like, I'll give it another try. I own it, so I will try it again at some point.
Have you watched any of the show, Jeff?
I've seen clips of some of the action scenes, and they're pretty impressive. Like, he cut some fucking dude's head off. That was pretty fucking sweet. But no, I've not actually watched it.
Earl, have you watched any of The Witcher?
No, I have not. It is on my to-do list. There's way too many shows out there.
The action is true. Really well shot and edited. Really tell what is going on in the sword fighting and shit. Like,
oh yeah, it's pretty
impressive on that front. Like I can't say anything about the story, but like the action I've seen.
I really wish in terms of the story they had included things like, I don't know, like what year it was when things are going on.
Yeah, because there's a split timeline story going on for the first 7 episodes of the series.
Yeah, and it's not clear what's happening until like episode like 4 or 5. So I saw a number of people who gave up on it after like the second episode because they're just like, I don't know what's going on. This makes no sense.
Yeah.
And like all they needed to do, and I'm rewatching it now, like they provide a couple of clues to the split timeline stuff, but you really have to be paying super close attention.
And it's a shame because I think it's like either episode 4 or 5 is one of the best episodes in the series so far. Like it's the one in the banquet.
Yeah,
it's just like it's so good, and that's one that really like you can really start to piece together the story at that point. But up until then, like a lot of the characters are not together. it's very good. It's interesting. I think it's might be episode 3. It tells the story that is the opening cutscene to the original Witcher.
Yeah, I think that is episode 3.
So like that was cool, and it's like, all right, like I don't really know the whole story here. Like I remember 3 story enough. Like I know how that ends because I beat it, but I never finished 1 and 2. I just found incomprehensible when it first came out on the 360. So I never finished that. I never really played a whole lot of it. It's like, are we following that story? Like, I mean, I know it's probably more based on the books, but it's interesting to see like the timeline because that the opening cutscene for
The Witcher, which is like that episode 3, does take place like early in, you know, that the way everything kind of plays out. So it's very interesting how things are going. I think the characters they get in the TV show to play them, very good. What's his name? Henry Cavill. Very good as Geralt.
Absolutely perfect.
I like Yennefer. I like what's his name? Jess Geer, the bard. He's pretty cool. And I hear a lot of people complaining about Triss, but only because she doesn't have red hair, and like she's a fucking awesome character in this. So I don't know what your problem is. Like, yeah, she's not the cute redhead
right.
that's in the games, but she's very well played in the TV show. Yes, when you guys get around to it, you should. It's very good.
Yes. Watch the show, play the game, Jeff.
Yeah.
I don't think I have any, like, shows on my plate right now. I finished Watchmen and I finished Mindhunter. I don't think I'm digging through anything, so it might be more coming up soon.
Earl, have you played Witcher 3 or any of the Witcher games?
I played Witcher 3 at some point. I did not get that far into it. It seems like one of those games that just has a lot of complex systems, and was it a Game for Gold? Why do I have it?
It is now.
It's definitely a Game for Gold now.
It's definitely part of a Game Pass currently.
Yeah,
so.
I owned it.
Oh, if you own it, then you must have bought it.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to figure out why I bought it. Or I bought it was either that or people were like, oh, this is a great game. And I tried it and it seemed fine, but it was like stuff like, oh, you have to know to pick this stuff up. And you have to, I'm like, yeah, I'm not going to do work right now. And I just never went back to it.
It does take a little bit of an investment. I mean, as Tony said, like he played 60 plus hours of it and didn't finish it. I mean, not that you're not averse to that, Earl, because you play like what 100 hours of Xenoblade or whatever.
Yes.
Shit, I've done 100 hours plus on all the Dark Souls games.
I'm not opposed to like investing a lot of time into games. It's investing it up front to make sure I'm having a good time with it. That is always the issue.
Well, that's everything on our list here. It was a lot, so
it's crazy because there's nothing coming out for like 3 months.
For a while, right? At least for me, it's like there's one game in February and not really a whole lot until March after.
A lot in March though. A lot of like, you know, Ori kicking it off at the beginning of the month. I think Animal Crossing and Doom drop on the same day on March 20th. And then, like, a week after that, you have Resident Evil 3. So.
I was going to say, you forgot. Did you say Final Fantasy VII dropping the same day as Animal Crossing?
Final Fantasy VII is, like, right at the beginning of the month, too, right?
Yeah.
March 3rd, is that what it is? Or?
Yeah, it is. Right.
Well, I'm just going to put this out there, because I know nobody bought it on the Wii U, but next week, Tokyo Mirage Sessions, #FE, whatever the actual subtitle is now, drops on the Switch. It is a really fun and interesting RPG that was originally released on the Wii U. And it's getting a second life on the Switch, so hopefully you folks check it out. It is a very Japanese RPG. And I know that's saying a lot for the genre, but I mean... yes, like, I mean... This,
like,
I mean, the
like
game.
How Japanese are we talking? Like more Japanese than Xenoblade? Or?
Yes.
Okay.
So, I mean, just to, you know, boil your points. One, it was a cheap game that I don't think anybody had any confidence in selling well, and that is fair. So, it's all in Japanese with subtitles. There are no English voices. And the thrust of the game is that you are a Japanese idol. Which is not something, I mean, we have kind of like that culture here, but not in the same way that Japan does. So a lot of that stuff will not, but the battle system is really fun, and it's a weird and fascinating mashup of Fire Emblem and Shin Megami Tensei. which I assume are two games everybody plays here, so.
Totally. I have no idea what you just said.
I'm still surprised you don't play Fire Emblem.
Yeah, it's hard.
I should.
Play it.
I plan on installing Frostpunk tomorrow on my Xbox, and then there's a Dark Crystal strategy game that comes out early February, and then Gears Tactics comes out. Like, so I'm gonna play some strategy games this year, guys.
It's the year of the strategy game again.
So we did not talk about the one big news that hit during our recess. Sony revealed the PlayStation 5 logo.
All right, go ahead. We talk about this. I think there's a bigger piece of news, so.
Oh, no, I was just, like, this is such, I mean, I'm not even saying, this is the PS4 logo with a 5 on it now, so.
Yes.
Like, what is it? If it's not broken, don't fix it, and Sony's very keen on that mentality.
It was just weird that they kind of had, they did it on stage, like, hey, here's our logo.
Yeah.
Yep, that's the logo. That's what everyone is expecting the logo to look like.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Like, okay. Like, thanks, Sony. Thanks for doing exactly what we thought you were doing. Good job. Here's a cookie.
There is the one thing, and it might be fixed now, now that we're 9 days into the year. But WWE 2K20 stopped working on January 1st.
It's Y2K20.
Yeah, really? I totally missed the story. It stopped working.
It would not, you could not get into any of the modes. Like, I guess it would boot to the menu, but you could not get into the modes on console.
I'm guessing the game is still a dumpster fire.
Obviously.
I heard that one of the buggiest, glitchiest fucking games.
Yeah.
Yes, but it's such a buggy, glitchy game in such a unique way. Because, like, as somebody pointed out, how are you going to literally have 2K20 in your title and not work in that year?
Amazing. And evidently it was, like, an easy fix on, on PlayStation 4 or PC, because you could change your system clock. But it's harder to do on the Xbox One, so I guess they had to wait for a patch to get back into it.
So I am very fascinated to meet the people who were so desperate to play this game that they figured out the workaround.
Right. Like, I mean, I saw the videos of that game, and it was a nightmare. So
I would almost be interested in playing it because of, like, how fucked up it is, but, like, honestly, even if it worked great, like wrestling games, I've just never been able to figure out.
When they haven't been good for 15 years.
Yeah.
But what haven't you been able to... Oh, it's saved
I just don't
time.
Get... I don't understand how they play. Like, every wrestling game I've ever played, I've just been like, what is these? What is this controls like? And I'm not into, like, wrestling really, so it's just like...
Yeah, okay. I mean, that's fair, because, I mean, most wrestling video games, while good, don't necessarily replicate what actual wrestling is, because I think it's a hard sport. It's a hard thing to actually replicate in video game form. So a lot of them tend to deal more with, like, grapples and strikes. And yeah. I think some of them work better than others, like the N64 ones are really popular. I'm a huge fan of the GameCube ones. Some of the earlier Yung's games up until, like, 2006, 2007 were actually pretty enjoyable. And then they've just been on the steady decline for the past decade because they've had no competition.
Yeah. Last one I remember really liking was the second SmackDown game on the PlayStation.
Oh, so.
It's been a while.
For you. Yeah.
Like on the original PlayStation?
Yeah. It's like Here Comes the Pain or something like that.
Well, that one was PlayStation 2.
Is that PlayStation 2?
Yeah.
I remember...
Like, they have been using that same engine since the PlayStation. It's gone through four different console generations. And it's kind of a telltale where they just kind of, like, we're just going to keep on heaping stuff on top of it. And at some point, that's going to break.
Well, it broke. It broke this year. Yeah. Like the ring was made of rubber bands and not just any rubber bands, but like space rubber bands. Like they went crazy when you would hit them. And I was watching, so it was like somebody threw the Hell in a Cell off, like through the top, but the fence didn't go away. And then the other guy fell through and was stuck, like his body, his legs were under the ring. So only his torso was like in the middle of the ring.
That's not normal.
It's a nightmare. Oh, that's that game. Yeah, I don't know. I don't think there's been much other news though outside of the PlayStation 5 reveal.
No, it's decided. Yeah, it's very quiet. I imagine next probably 10 starts to pick up. I mean, WB Montreal is teasing their Batman game again, but that seems to happen every few months.
Yeah. When is a PAX South? That's shortly, right?
PAX South, I think. I guess it's at the end of this month. Okay. That's the one in Texas, right?
Yeah, actually, that's next weekend. So there might be some news coming out of there. So they announced a new Fortnite mode would be debuting there. There's some stuff will probably leak out of there. And then PAX East is in February.
Yeah. All right.
Well, we'll be back next week with probably some more Game Pass games, and Jeff will play some other random weird Nintendo games and Resident Evil games.
I am kind of getting burned out on Sonic and Resident Evil, but I really do want to do Resident Evil 5 again, because I haven't played that since the first time. So
it's fun. You should see if you can get your girlfriend to play with that one.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe.
Or if not, if you can't get her to play with you, let me know. Maybe I'll play co-op with you. We could do that, too.
Maybe.
All right. We'll be back next week, then, with something. Jeff, say goodnight.
Good night.